Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Friday, 5:01 here on Fan Run Radio. Congratulations, you have made it. The weekend is here.
Let's go.
Here we go, baby. It's going to be a good one. And you can start it off big time. We already sent somebody to the ball game tonight. Right now, we're sending somebody to see Tim McGraw in concert tonight at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. Be caller number 76 right now.
You son of a...
I'm just kidding.
We go with caller 7.
Just be caller number 1.
37. How about that?
865-288-3131. Your number to get on. 865-288-3131. The top 5 at 5. Tucker Harlan, hit it.
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Tennessee continues its series against Missouri tonight at 6:30 in Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Drew Beam will get the start for the Vols tonight. And, of course, Tennessee beat the Tigers 10-1 last night to get the series started.
Send them on another Missouri boat ride. Drew Beam on the bump. They're going with the traditional Friday night white uniforms. Does this mean no creams this weekend?
Maybe Sunday, or excuse me, Saturday.
They usually go orange on Saturday.
Huh.
The plot thickens. Parking advisory for those of you headed to the game due to the aforementioned Tim McGraw concert tonight at the hell out of here at the Food City Center. That's Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. Non-reserved lots surrounding the arena and baseball stadium will be pay to park. They recommend parking at the ad campus and riding the free shuttle. I've never done that. Is that an okay way to...
Never have, won't do it. I'm not cramming in a bus, no chance.
You get claustrophobic?
No, I just hate being like hot. Could you imagine doing that? Well, I guess it wouldn't be that bad
hot,
tonight after the game,
people.
But
yeah.
Like after a football game in August, like, and hey, let's get 100 people on this bus.
Yeah, you know they pack them on there.
Oh, they do. I've seen it. It's ridiculous.
Like Disney World. No spanky.
At number 2, Kentucky has landed a commitment out of the transfer portal in Lamont Butler from San Diego State. Butler was the Aztecs' third leading scorer last season and was instrumental in their run to the national championship back in 2023. Hit the buzzer beater to defeat Florida Atlantic in the Final Four.
Is this a solid pick? Are we concerned about this?
I don't know if concern's the right word.
He averaged 9.3 points, 2.6 rebounds per game, 3 assists per game. Is he point guard, I guess?
Yes.
Okay. So Kentucky's point guard will be Lamont Butler next year.
Because he's my Butler.
Fifth year. Good, Chris. That'll be a fifth-year senior point guard. Okay, that'll be see how he likes Zakai Ziegler up in his jersey. By the way, 9.3 points per game in the Mountain West is more like 6 points a game in the SEC. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
At number 3, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is mulling a future with 18 regular season games, a President's Day weekend Super Bowl, and a significant increase in international games. Goodell, during an appearance on the Pat McAfee Show today, shared his long-term vision, one that involves numerous changes to the current season's format. He said he thinks they're good at 17 now, but the reality is he'd rather replace a preseason game with a regular season game any day and ideally get to 18 regular season games and just 2 preseason games.
At a certain point, I mean, the thing about football has always been, particularly in the college games, the regular season matters.
Right.
There's only 12 games. There used to only be 11. There used to only be 10. There's a small amount of games, and you better win them all. At a certain point, does that start to get watered down in the NFL?
I just think it's probably a little bit of that, and I think it's just too much. It's such a brutal game, and you talk about this a lot with Premier League, about the fact that those guys don't take any time off, but I think similar thing. I feel like 18 games is a lot, and I know you're saying, oh, they're just converting a preseason game to a regular season game. Well, those preseason games, you aren't seeing starters. You're seeing all the –
what, like a couple of drives?
Yeah.
I mean, the dress rehearsal game, it's a quarter and a half.
And I just always like the symmetry of the 16-game regular season.
I did too.
You know, to bring in a two-minute warning to college game, professionalizing it. How about preseason college games? Hey, there's your FCS game.
I'd say
they
just
won't ever be able to do that.
Turn spring practice into that. Make that an exhibition game.
I think the only way that happens is when they finally start
paying
them.
They can make them do it.
They can cut them in on the money.
At number four, MLB scoreboard, one game has gone final today. The Royals defeated the Tigers 8-0 in Detroit to get the day started. No other games in progress right now, but you do have several matchups throughout the night. You've got the Cubs playing the Red Sox in Fenway, Yankees playing the Brewers in Milwaukee. Both of those teams have winning records and are atop their divisions. You've got the Cardinals playing the Mets in Citi Field, and the Guardians playing the Braves. Truest.
Wish they were still the Indians so we could have the non-PC Bowl down there in Atlanta this weekend.
That's a big
piss off the
series.
Wokes.
They are doing very well this year too.
That's the one I will never understand why they did that.
They were doing very well until they strolled into the chop shop, Tucker Harlan.
Game hasn't started yet. It's at 7:20 tonight.
Don't know that.
Can't say that.
I'm just throwing stuff out there.
All right.
And
finally, at number five, this denim design was not an accident despite looking like one you've had. The unorthodox Jordan Luka jeans, which debuted on a fashion runway last fall, feature a dark stain in the groin area of the pants. And critics say
no,
the wearer
supposed
looks
to look
like
that
they.
Way.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes you look like you peed your pants.
Yes. I'll send you guys the picture of it. It's.
You ain't cool unless you pee your pants.
If peeing your pants is cool, I'm Miles Davis.
I mean, this is.
Hold on.
At least then, if you do pee your pants. No. These are Jordan Lucas. You poor.
The ultimate's when the guy who's peed his pants is trying to debate with you about whether or not he's had enough to drink.
Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
You can pay.
$200.
The low price of $548 to look like you peed your pants.
That sounded like a $500 bougie item to me.
I've just sent you guys the screenshot.
I have anxiety when I buy a new $50 pair of Levi's. People out here paying $500 for their pants, man. What are you doing?
Just to look like you peed yourself.
And you look like you peed in your.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Thought this was fashionable?
I don't like any. I mean, young people can wear whatever, but like any distressing or any. I bought new jeans a month or two ago, and like one of them,
you buy those super stiff ones, don't you?
I mean, I buy. I don't know.
I don't
They're all.
I don't
jeans.
Like pre-washed jeans.
I got them home, and like I guess I didn't notice when I was trying them on in the store, but there was just like a little discoloration or something on one. I couldn't do it. I took them back. I'm very particular about my pants.
Did it look like you maybe had a pee stain right there?
That's kind of what I was. It just looked bad. It looked indifferent. I don't know.
I wonder if they still make those. Back when I was a kid, Levi's came. They were like, it was like sale. Like actual sale. It was super stiff. It took a good 6 months to get a pair of those broken in. Get them even remotely soft.
Thank you, Tucker. That is the top five at five. It is brought to you by the fine folks at Citizens National Bank on this Financial Freedom Friday. Check out CNB when there are 20-plus branches throughout Knox, Sevier, Jefferson counties, all over the place, Hamblin County as well. Online at cnbtn.com, Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good. Congratulations to...
I cannot remember his name.
Oh, boy.
We would get the tickets to him. I mean, you wrote something down, right? Wow.
No.
Somebody hopefully is going to see Tim McGraw tonight if the Tiger team can stir the foggy memories.
I figured you wanted to talk to him. I just forgot to write his name down.
Is he still online?
Yeah, he's on hold. Okay, I've been waiting to bring him on.
Hello, mystery guy.
This is Brent. Brent won the tickets.
Brent, congratulations. You're going to see Tim McGraw.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Brent, you can go ahead and tell the guys what I did.
He may or may not have hung up on me after I called the first.
I knew it. I could tell.
Declared the winner.
As soon as he did it, he put his hands over his ears like, oh, no.
That's on brand.
And then it happens.
You didn't take any of his information? No. What did you expect? You could just mentally zap the tickets to him?
I could read his lips
telepathically.
Well, this was like after a one-minute lecture to Brent about if we got disconnected to call back and that not to hang up until I got his information. But, yeah, Brent won the tickets. He was a seventh caller.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
One of these days, boys, these contests, we're gonna dial it in.
So,
well, you better get on it, Brent. Concert starts in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm trying to pack up at work right now.
Atta boy. All right. Sorry for the late notice, but glad he can go.
Yeah,
Brent, I'm gonna put you back on hold, and Tucker Harlan is going to get your information so we can get these tickets to you ASAP. Hold
right
there.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
You see how he cleverly pawned responsibility off on Tucker right there?
What responsibility? I want to make sure this guy gets his tickets, and it's an honest Friday. I will screw it up royally. Will I not? Are you going to argue with me on that?
No, I feel much more comfortable about Brent's future now that it's in Tucker's hands.
I did. I totally hung up on him.
Boy, that really
I'm not blaming
like
it on it, but I've
pants.
Been telling Houston I've explained to Houston there's some layout issues over here on my side.
You explained this to me 30 seconds before this segment as if I can do it now.
No, it was last hour.
We can't do this during a show.
Houston, it's not right. I don't like it. Can you make it better?
What did I say? Remember 2 weeks ago he's telling me one thing and now he wants it different. Oh, no, the flashers. The flashers for the phone. I want flashers. Where are my flashers? Like a week and every day. Any word on my flashers? Any word? Now, today he tells me, oh, I don't want them. Bear, I don't want the flashers anymore.
Bear wants, when the phones light up here, says they don't ring, right? So we got to have a way of getting our attention when people are calling in so that we can screen the phone calls. Bear wants this place to turn into a
disco ball. Yeah.
There's a disco ball that comes down. There start strobe lights start flashing around. There's lights spinning. CNC Music Factory breaks in and starts playing in our headphones.
No. What I would like is quite simply not to have to answer the phone. And I keep hoping that maybe somebody who's finally within reach of the phone will start picking it up, saying, hey, Bear's talking to Russell right now. He's not the best person at remembering stuff, so I'm going to answer the phone for him.
We get to the new studio with bigger, better equipment. Still
and
not
I
satisfied.
For the damn
should be easier to do everything he was doing at the old studio and more. And now he says, Tucker, no, wait. You will answer the phones.
I wanted the phone, like, down there, away from me.
It just
I hate the phone.
That's not where you wanted it. You're lying again. You wanted it to your left of the board. You wanted it to your left.
I didn't want it right here. And where did you all put it? Right here.
What is this you all? Like you weren't in here. You made all these decisions.
Yes. Tiger team dissension.
There is
this not. This is not dissension. This is family stuff.
What if we got you some sort of device that you could wear around your chest like one of those vendors at a sporting event and the phone's just like right in front of your face, strapped to your belly. Yeah, what if we got you vibrators? You know, for the phone.
FSK out of context. No, I really just, you know, once upper management or new management said something about the phone coming out of the control room itself, Once he said that, like, I'm on that ship and I'm sailing.
So
I don't want to answer the phone.
So the job you've done for nine,
is
now too difficult.
No.
Okay.
It's not too difficult.
It appears too difficult.
It's something I'm tired of doing after 8 or 9 years, and we're all about.
To be honest,
a lot closer.
Wouldn't it be better if we had somebody a little bit more welcoming than Bear? When
you ask anybody, I am always super pleasant. I've got very good
I've phone seen
etiquette.
You answer the phone, say the drive, what's your name, and then just immediately, like, not say anything to them. Like, just place them on hold. Like, not, okay, hang right there. Okay, we'll get right to you. Thanks for calling.
Well,
nothing.
Some guys
want to
have
bop.
A conversation.
Just bop. You're bop. Done. Imagine if we had, like, a secretary with, like, a real kind of, hey, hun, how you doing? Like, one of, like, a Waffle House
oh, yeah,
waitress
we'll
effect.
You, we'll get you right in there.
Yeah, just hang right there. Thanks so much for calling. Hope your day's going good there, sugar.
I'm afraid to say it out loud because I might get asked about it every 5 minutes, but I've been told that's in the plans.
Yeah.
Off-site phone answering service. And by off-site, I just mean outside of this room.
We automate everything now. I'm surprised somebody can do it at home.
Well, you want Miller out there?
Well, they're doing the ironing.
All right. Hey, Jake, this night.
You going to get on the drive.
Have you seen, speaking of automation, have you seen the new AI drive-thrus in action?
Oh, dear.
I've seen a few. Well, I've actually been in one that's AI at first.
Yeah, I've
seen. And then if you're like, that's not right, then they're like, okay.
That's all McDonald's now. It's like, will you be using the ordering app?
Right.
No.
Oh, and then.
Hey, what do you want?
Pretty good Miller right there.
Jake.
I went through a drive-thru one day this week, and like whoever it was Popeye's. She just cut it off.
Sorry, what?
She broke in.
It's just like this is a nightmare. Like everyone's orders are wrong. I'll do
like,
it myself.
You like to, and she was like, "What can I get you?"
Well, you know what's funny? For years, as long back as I can remember, people have complained about the ineptitude of drive-thru workers. Right. No offense. I've never had that job. I imagine it's not easy. But we've all been there, right?
Man, take your order.
Yeah, you go through the whole thing. What's that? You know, they can't make change. Whatever the stereotypes are, it's always awful, right? But now we've finally got it to the computer where...
They never make mistakes.
They never make mistakes, and we're kind of nostalgic for the pimple-faced... Derelict.
Oh, they're still out
working
there.
At the drive-thru.
Gentlemen, I have achieved something I never thought I would in my entire life. I have won over the staff at my local Popeyes.
Wow.
They like me.
Congratulations.
Can you do the same thing at Walmart?
No. I think it's because I speak their language.
Yeah, I saw somebody go through a
order. Popeyes, that's English. What are you talking about?
Saw somebody order a whole Wendy's meal. Didn't talk to a human being. Just talking to the computer. Yep.
Could you talking to the computer? Yeah.
The lady at McDonald's on it was like on Oak Ridge Highway. Like I was coming up the counter order, and she pointed. She goes, "You can order it right there."
Yeah, I have seen those in some McDonald's.
I've never used the kiosk.
So they're just discouraging human interaction now.
Basically, yes.
I've used the kiosk.
They're trying to cut hours, what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's wanting to get paid $20 an hour. And not sure if you're aware of the math on those franchises. It's a very slim margin of profit for the people that own those.
I'm just wondering what Phil's reaction is going to be when he calls into the drive, his favorite radio show in the afternoon, and it picks up, "Hello, you have called the drive on Fan Run Radio."
Well, that's really nice. How
would you like to proceed? Do you want to A, call the show, B, register a complaint, or C, buy some Fan Run Radio merchandise?
I guess I'll do A.
You have selected A, call the show. What is your name?
Name's Phil.
Phil, hang right there. See, AI Bear is going to be so much more polite and easy to get along with. And he won't hang up on you until they get the proper number and information they need from you.
I mean, what's wrong with drive? What's your name?
No, I think it's important to be fast back there. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm sitting like 6 feet away from three super loud,
okay,
super sensitive open microphones. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't have time for
a
chit chat.
Last night was Tony Vitello's 100th career SEC victory.
Hey.
He's a stallion, isn't he?
He has to be the fastest to 100 SEC wins at Tennessee, right?
Oh, at Tennessee for sure.
Okay, yeah.
I'm wondering where that ranks SEC.
Yeah, all right.
It's our guy.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. We'll track down our old pal Logan Quinton, talk a little SEC baseball with him when we continue next. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back here on the Drive Fan Run Radio, Logan Quinton from the 920 Podcast is here as we're about an hour away from Tennessee baseball over at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. What's up, LQ?
What's going on, fellas? I'm already on campus. Got here super early. I beat the horses and the Cowboys to get ahead of the Tim McGraw concert.
A lot of dudes walking around dressed up like cowboys, cowboy hats and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I saw some ponies last week up there, you know, when I traveled to Lexington on Sunday, had the Keeneland stuff going on. Now we're dealing with thoroughbreds here tonight.
It's really the only mythic figure that men are still – grown men. You can walk around in a damn cowboy hat and cowboy – there's no cowboys anymore.
No.
You can walk around like, oh, this is what I'm doing. You never see anybody dressed up like a Viking.
Just a bunch of dudes that watch too much Yellowstone. I think is a large part of it.
Nevertheless, I'm glad you made it on time, Logan, as Tennessee looks to secure the series victory tonight against Missouri. And it's interesting. We were talking earlier, all these teams now, well, not all these teams, but Tennessee, LSU did it up here, and Missouri is doing it this weekend. They're throwing their best pitcher in game two of the series. What's up with this trend?
Well, I would kind of argue that, you know, perhaps they're not. I mean, it's been an interesting start to this series. For one, they threw their best bullpen arm last night. You know, that I'd have to go back and check. That might have been Medicia's first start. I'm pretty sure it was. He was definitely their leverage guy, best arm out of the pen. He had been great in SEC play. They went ahead and burned him last night. But they're in my opinion, their best starter is Javon Pimentel, who they're going to throw tomorrow. He's like the more solid of the bunch. You know what you're going to get tonight, Logan Lunsford. It's definitely the higher ceiling. And you know, I don't know what it says in terms of it being a trend or anything. I think with Tennessee, there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of factors. You know, the fact that, you know, A.J. Russell is down and you had to, you know, maybe you say, okay, we're going to put the rock of our pitching staff in the middle of a series. And in that way, you can – maybe it makes it easier for Tony Vitello to kind of manage some things there. But – yeah, it's – I don't know. I guess a lot of – I think the thought behind it, though, is a lot of teams, a lot of coaches would rather die on their sword and say, hey, that second game of the weekend, we're either taking the series or we're fighting to even it up and go into the third game. And I think that's the ultimate thought behind it, just in general.
Well, you got to feel comfortable if you're in Tennessee's spot right now. Missouri's a team that's struggling, and Tennessee pounded them pretty good last night. Evidently, after the game, Vitello was indicating that maybe the focus in the dugout wasn't exactly what he wanted it to be. That struck me as almost a Saban-esque comment where, you know, yeah, Alabama will be pounding Southeast Missouri State, you know, 50-0, and he comes out, well, they almost scored us on our third-team defense there at the end of the ballgame. What do you think he meant by that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Russell, because if you go back a few days and you think about the still a baseball term, you know, he had some commentary that came out of left field about the Missouri program, the, quote, previous regime.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's – look, for those that are diehard fans, media that kind of knows the thread of, you know, Tony Vitello from Missouri to Tennessee, like, it's pretty well known in that regard. A little bit about his feelings towards his time at Missouri as a coach. But to the way he interjected that commentary the other night was very telling to me. But at the same time, you fast forward into the series, he's got some quotes like that. I think you hit the nail on the head, Russell. I mentioned it on the 920 podcast. Like, it's, I think he's going to be, you know, very respectful in his interactions with Kerrick Jackson, and he's probably going to give a lot of hugs and handshakes because he knows so many on that staff. But at the same time, he's going to try to feed his guys with something for them to go out there and, you know, do some business. And it's, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's as emotional as this might be for Tony Vitello, in a way, you know, it is a new regime, and he respects a lot of guys over on the other side. But at the end of the day, it's competition. And I think he's going to try to feed his guys to say, you know, hey, go out there and let them know who's the boss now.
Talking with Logan Quinton, the Cookie Man, ahead of Game 2 tonight between Tennessee and Missouri. Check out the latest episode of the 920 podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Go follow him at LDQ Sports for all the latest on Tennessee baseball this weekend and the rest of the season. And Logan, looking ahead tonight, do we expect that the baseball will continue flying out of the yard at the prodigious rate it has been for Tennessee here lately, given that you have two pretty good pitchers going at it at Lindsey Nelson?
Yeah, tonight's going to be very interesting. Logan Lunsford, he's been hot and cold. But the interesting thing about him is, you know, it was pretty ugly for him before SEC play. When conference play began, you know, they started off, I think, with Arkansas. You know, I kind of scratched that one a little bit because Arkansas is so far ahead at that point than Missouri. But then, you know, everything's been really good for Logan Lunsford, giving up three earned or less in every start except for Georgia. He had an amazing performance against Florida, for whatever that's worth. You know, Florida is kind of reeling right now. But, you know, it's kind of hot and cold with him, but the ceiling is very high, like I mentioned, and he can generate a lot of swing and miss with his slider and his changeup, got a good fastball. So if he's at his best, you know, it can make for an interesting night. The problem is, like I go back to, they burned their leverage guy in a starter role last time. So I think, you know, somehow, some way, you know, the power element is going to come through, because this lineup is so deep and it can seem never ending for a pitcher. You know, I think a guy like we're going to see tomorrow night in Pimentel that, you know, could be a little more, you know, challenging just because it's a change of pace. He's a lefty that's got a lot of good movement, really good changeup. But I'm very interested tonight to see what Lunsford does against this lineup, because he's coming off of a pretty rough start against an underwhelming LSU lineup. I think he went like 2 2/3, gave up like 7 or 8. It's interesting to see what his response is against the best offense in the country.
All right, so maybe we can tee off on this guy here tonight. The lineup just dropped on Tennessee baseball Twitter account. No big changes for Tony Vitello. Dalton Bargo does get the start at DH tonight, and Cal Stark catching and hitting the nine hole. You know, it's interesting. We've gone from talking about, well, they're committed to starting Stark one game in the weekend series, to, well, now Stark's starting two games, and Peebles is is got the one game to, well, now Stark is starting all three games, or at least he did last week. We'll see what they do tomorrow. But it feels like he's earned that, Logan. And I guess the other side of that is it was great to see Peebles get the sack fly at Kentucky and finally his first home run last night, as the catcher thing has turned into a bit of a strength here for the Vols.
Yeah, that what an awesome experience. You know, last night for Cannon Peebles, I mean, the game was out of reach at that point and everything, but here comes Cannon from the left side, putting one out of there, great swing on it, and he finally breaks the ice right there. And that's huge. And the clubhouse reaction and everything to go with it, it just adds another component if that guy can get going. And you mentioned Cal Stark. It's as much as they want to get people some run, it's hard to take away at bats or innings from Cal Stark when, you know, he works so well as a battery for any pitcher. And it's not just behind the dish. We're seeing better hitting from Cal Stark this year. We've known about the power. He can put a good swing on it, but the hitting's improved. But for me, the difference with Cal Stark is, you know, he gets a pickoff at Kentucky. He's done it a couple other times throughout the year. It's his presence, his communication on, you know, in the infield with the guys, and especially with the pitchers, that he's a catcher's catcher, and he's improving on his hitting, laying down a sacrifice bunt here and there. It's hard to take him out, but I mean, it's great that if Cannon can get some momentum going, you know, that just adds more to the mystique.
All right, Logan, looking forward to it this evening. Logan is at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Any other Tennessee baseball thoughts before we get you out of here?
I mean, I don't know what to say, guys, about the offense. It's, you know, we're Billy Amick. Okay, I'll end with this. I don't know if any of you guys got to see his postgame interview with SEC Network last night, but Peter Blackburn asked him, like, hey, going down this last stretch of the season, like, what's going to be key for you? Like, you know, what do you need to tighten up? And, you know, he didn't mention something in terms of, like, some hitting or a mindset technique or anything like that. He was just like, you know, this is a guy that's a man of few words. He's very stoic. And he didn't have a lot of words last night, but he mentioned something about just being able to go and finish this regular season out with the group of guys he's with and try to make a run. And I think what I drew from it, knowing Billy Amick, knowing some of these guys and how they interact, I go back to the Ole Miss Sunday game when Amick was homerless during SEC play, about, you know, five and a half games into SEC play, and we're like, where's all these home runs? You know, because he had hit nine before SEC play, and then he gets that home run against the Rebels, and later on that night he's having a napidectomy, and Tony's quotes post-game before all that happened was, hey, aside from the home run, I'm just glad that Billy Amick was out there laughing and cutting up with the team in the dugout. You know, Tony spoke to the fact that he saw Billy really start to blossom, not just at the plate, but in the dugout. And then all of a sudden, 2.5 weeks were taken away from him. I get the sense that Billy is not only honed in at the plate now after being back from that, but the fact that maybe there's a newfound appreciation for what's in store for this club. And if that's going to add to the talent that he has already, I mean, that's just, my goodness. I mean, we're talking, he's got 16 homers and he's missed 2.5 weeks of the season. It's crazy.
Yeah, still playing himself back into shape.
Yeah.
That one he hit last night, the second one, I mean,
unreal.
You talk about a moonshot. Good grief.
That was a orbital.
That was nasty.
Trajectory.
Titanic blast. All right, Logan, we appreciate you. We appreciate Crumble Cookies for their sponsorship of your appearances on our show. Go check them out in Maryville, in Turkey Creek, on Clinton Highway. Tell them Fan Run sent you. They got good stuff over there. And then you can go sweat it out over at Hot Works.
Absolutely. And go check out the confetti milkshake cookie this week. That's the one to get that you can burn those calories off at Hotworks.
Oh, man. What do you think they would if they saw me sitting in the sun at Hotworks just pigging out?
Just eating
those cookies? That is a remarkable way that he's got Hotworks and
it's beautiful.
Crumble cookies.
There's a balance in life, Bear.
Yes.
Logan Quinton, Zen Master.
I teeter that every day.
That's very Lao Tzu of you, Logan. We appreciate you. Look it up, Tucker. All right, thank you, Logan Quinton. We'll see you at the ballpark this weekend at LDQ Sports. Logan Quinton, the Cookie Man, stopping by, making his presence felt this afternoon here on Fan Run Radio. Got to take a quick time out. We'll be back to wrap things up right after this on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues, wrapping up on a Friday afternoon edition of the show. Logan Quinton. Bear, what did you learn?
We talked about it a little bit earlier. I don't think that I really had thought a lot about what a huge piece Billy Barrels being out, but, you know, not having him in the lineup. I mean, what a huge, and now that he's starting to feel like he's starting to get a swing back and getting back to 100%, and he's mashing.
Mashing, he is indeed. It was a little bit quiet, the
Kentucky series.
The Kentucky series. Yeah. He comes back with a couple of home runs Tuesday night, couple of home runs last night. Feels like Billy Barrels is back.
He's settled in, yeah.
Who do we have next weekend? Is it Vandy? Or is that the
it's
week after?
Florida. Florida's next week.
Florida and Gainesville.
Yeah. At Gators.
Condron Park.
And we thought, coming into the season that was going to be a real tough one. And I'm not penciling in the Series W or anything. I'm not even going to mention the S word for that series. But it looks a lot more manageable now that Florida has struggled so mightily.
If I'm not mistaken, they opened up with a series victory against Texas A&M in SEC play.
Well, now I think in order, I would say it's in order of difficulty from here. Wouldn't you say it would be South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Florida after this weekend?
I'd say Vanderbilt's tougher than South Carolina just because you got to go there.
Yeah, you got to go there.
I think, yeah, they've been higher up in the rankings than South Carolina has for most of the year. Now, South Carolina did sweep Vandy in Columbia.
Vanderbilt's got a bat problem. Is that true?
I got a problem with pitchers using illegal substances. We know that much.
Sad.
Vandy 10-8 in league play. South Carolina 9-9. Florida 8-10.
So they're all hovering right near 500.
I mean, I would think that Tennessee is in pretty good shape. All right, let's get Joshy Boy in here next. Good afternoon, Joshy Boy. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
How are you guys doing on this Friday?
Spectacularly. Thank you.
That was a really, really good interview with Logan Quinton.
I mean, you talk about our stable of Fan Run contributors, him and J-Mo, rising stars in the business.
Yeah, Billy Betts and Blake Burke, in the heart of our lineup, just smashing it.
Yep.
Smashed!
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 So, what do you guys think about tonight's game? Do you think it'll be another blowout?
I don't know. I mean, I'm interested. I feel great about having Drew Beam on the hill tonight, but he's had a very good season. I'm going to stop short of calling him dominant. He's certainly given up a lot of hard hits, but he just keeps coming back and grinding and getting guys out. And, like, you know, he'll give up some hard hits in the first couple of innings, and you're like, oh, man, what's up with Beamer? And then the next thing you know, it's the seventh inning. He's still in there. You're winning. And it's like, wow, this guy he's just a grinder. And he benefits from a little drive karma being on the show earlier this week. I'm predicting a stellar outing
Yeah, I mean, shout out to the rest of the team. Anybody that's wanting a boost in their performance, just jump in our DMs. We'll get you scheduled on the show.
Mm.
Yep. So what did you guys think about Causey throwing 90 pitches last night?
I mean, it's several times that he's been really stretched out in a game for us this year. And technically, I guess he's not the Friday night starter, but technically he kind of is.
Kind of gets the lion's share every time, yep.
Yeah.
It's good for him. I mean, this
yeah, it is.
You got to be able to – it's big boy baseball.
Russ, what did you think about the Titans selecting J.C. Latham from Alabama?
Initial reaction was not overwhelmingly positive. I didn't hate it, but it's just it's a question mark. And I think Lucas Panzeca put it best last hour when he joined us, when he said, Titans fans wanted to come out of last night feeling secure in the knowledge that our left tackle is set for the foreseeable future. You know who it's going to be this year. You know who it's going to be for the next 10 years, really. And we don't really feel that way. Can the guy play left tackle? They say that's the goal. They say a lot of things. We'll see if it pans out. I really hope it does. On paper, he checks all the boxes. All the measurables are there. But he hasn't played left tackle since high school. So until he shows he can do it in an NFL regular season game, I don't see how you can't be a little bit skeptical.
Who do you think will go with our sixth overall pick in the second round, Russ?
It's interesting, man. I think that receiver, perhaps, defensive back, perhaps, linebacker, perhaps, offensive line, perhaps. Long way of saying I don't know. Who would you take, Joshy boy?
I would go after a cornerback.
There could be
there's a really good one there.
There could be some decent options there. Could be some decent options. Joshy boy, hope you have yourself a wonderful weekend. Anything else?
Yeah, one last question. Do you guys enjoy my calls?
I love your calls, buddy. Why do you ask?
Because I don't try to start trouble unlike some people when they call in.
Who's that? Who are you talking about, Joshy boy?
Not going to name any names.
Name names.
Well.
All right. Can't waste any time on that.
I know some collar-on-collar violence has occurred between him and at least one other person. So yeah. I'm making him.
Here's what I would say, Joshy boy, and I don't want to start anything because the last time I made any sort of criticism of your phone call, it became a bit of a thing behind the scenes. We won't get into it specifically. You didn't want us to put your business out there. But one thing I would say is it's like when I see these young pups like Tucker Harlan and Jake Miller and Marcus Young, they come up to me and say, Russell, you're a happily married man. What is it about the fairer sex? If you could give me any sort of advice on how to woo a lady. All I would say is you got to have confidence. You got to have confidence. You got to project security. And what I would say to you, Joshy boy, is you ask if we like your calls. You got to project confidence on the air, Joshy boy. You got to come in. We like your calls. I don't give a damn if you don't like my calls. My calls are fire every single time out there. I know it. You know it. The whole world knows it. That's what I would say, Joshy boy. A little bit of confidence, a little bit of swagger.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Tell us to answer the phone, put you on the air, and get out of your way. Let you work.
If I want your opinion, I'll tell you what it is. Here's my opinion. Matthew is next on The Drive. Good afternoon, Matthew.
Hey, fellas. First time calling into the new station, so I'll make it quick here.
Welcome.
First off, I like your calls, Joshy boy, so keep them coming. Secondly, ran into Toby Iwaka last Saturday, of all people, at the airport. And so the reason I'm calling him with this question, guys, is as we get ready to add Igor, and as we try to add Rob Lanier, you know, you've got Felix, so you got the kid from Ohio State, you got Darlington Dubar. I'll hang up with this thought. Like, that leaves you one more spot. Do we feel comfortable now with the pieces that we're fixing to add would you almost – I know the ship is sailing with Tobey Walker, but my question to you guys, and I'll hang up and listen, is would you try to add one more guard to go into the rotation with Zakai, Lanier, and Gainey, or would you try to add one more big just to have as an insurance policy? And I'll hang up on that, boys. Have a great weekend. Hey, Tucker, I love what you did last night with the NFL stuff. Love more of that. Take care, boys.
Wow. Thank you, Matthew.
Tucker and Marcus Young, I ride the younger guys pretty hard, but you guys did a bang-up job.
Knocked
last night.
Knocked it
I'm
out
proud
of the park.
Of you boys.
The MarlaCast getting rave reviews.
Marlin.
You know, it's interesting. We have not spent any time breaking down the basketball roster today. It was the first time that's happened this week.
Probably we haven't had any news today.
In 2 or 3 weeks, I feel like.
I think if you get down to, you know, it's easy to sit here and just say, if you have one last spot, take the best player available. But I do think there's also something to be said for taking a flyer on a couple of guys. And two guys that we've been told they're bringing in on visits perhaps as soon as now, this weekend. Tucker Anderson, the transfer from Central Arkansas, and Gabriel Mabor, the project big man from North Carolina. And I think there's something to be said for perhaps having those guys in the 12th and 13th slots on your bench and then just working with the 11 other guys as far as what your rotation is going to be next year. I think you can get into a situation where you have too many basketball players. Which is what Kentucky kind of had last year. You have too much, you have not enough. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously, if Cade Tyson wants to come, we're going to find a spot for him.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he doesn't, and you've got Milicic, Anderson, and Mabor, then, I think you're pretty much comfortable. And Lanier, obviously. Going forward,
I think
you're comfortable with that if that ends up being your 13 scholarship players. All right, then. That's going to do it for The Drive. Thank you, Tucker. Thank you, Houston.
Thank you, Russell.
Thank you, Barrett. You're welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime is up next. We'll do it again Monday right here on Fan Run Radio.